This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, y'all, coming up tomorrow, broadcasting live from John Madden's studio. I still can't get over it when we say that. What? Coming up tomorrow, we're broadcasting live from John Madden's studio?
It's pretty cool.
Stop it.
Yeah?
Well, remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family are going to be there. Mooch is going to be there. He'll join us right on site at 3 o'clock. We'll celebrate all of that. We will do our normal dance as well, so make sure you're with us on Willard and Dibs. We're going to go to Cleared to Play in just a sec. I don't want everybody to have to wait too long. We'll discuss why I'm bringing it up. But Brandon Ayuk was signed on August 30th, and then Ricky was shot the very next day. The very next day.
Man.
So the Niners, they signed Brandon with the thought that Ricky Pearsall was about to be healthy after a bumpy camp, but they weren't dealing with anything nearly as serious when they signed Brandon Ayuk. So they were not aware of it at that time.
And that's why you've called it wide receiver survivor the whole time, because four wide receivers for truly three spots. Apologies to Jacob Cowing, who, you know, and Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley, who weren't a part of that 4-for-3 conversation.
Let's go out to the River Islands guest line because it is time for Cleared to Play. We're going to take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay, and proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment. Here comes Dr. Brian Feely. Hey, Doc, what's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Glad to have you. What do you think, by the way, about Pearsall as his practice window opens? What's he dealing with coming off of what is kind of a hard injury for all of us to understand?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for him is that he really legitimately missed most of camp. And then even though he was miraculously shot, but not shot in a horrific way, he then had to take some time off just to recover. So then he's missed essentially all the conditioning that most of the players get. So he's had 3 to 4 weeks to build back into that. So I think the next few weeks, especially going into the bye in a few weeks, suggests that he can get back into playing shape, get used to taking contact, see how it feels to get contact in the chest, because even though he didn't get any rib fractures, he still might be a little bit more sore than anticipated, and they won't know for sure until he takes some hits in practice and then hopefully relatively soon in a real game.
Yeah, that's something that's just so exciting, and when he gets out there for the first time in a real NFL game and makes his debut, it's going to be emotional for fans and certainly for Ricky as well. Jordan Mason injured. He had the AC joint sprain. He was able to come back for one snap after halftime, and then that was about it. How does a sprained AC joint affect your ability as a ball carrier?
Yeah, so your AC joint is that little bump you feel on the top outside of your shoulder, and that's where your collarbone meets your shoulder blade. When you have a mild AC sprain or a type 1 to 2 AC sprain, the hard part is bringing your arm across your body. So if you think about grabbing a football, bringing it across your body and protecting it, you're basically leaning against a bruise, getting hit in that area, and then being tackled and landing on that side. So it's not really a question of increased injury risk. It's more a question of how much pain he can deal with, and not in a toughness way. If you just can't bring your arm across to protect the ball, they're not going to put him back in there. Long term, these are the type of injuries that if there's no significant displacement, meaning the collarbone isn't too high up and out of the area of a sprain and into a shoulder separation, he should be able to return this year and do fine.
Doc, I know that you don't kick with your shoulder, but at the same time, that looks really painful with what happened with Matthew Wright in Seattle, and there are question marks. What are we looking at here with a kicker injuring a shoulder?
Yeah, so for any time you have a shoulder dislocation or a subluxation of the shoulder wants to slide out of the joint and then slide back in. And even though the shoulder is inherently, it's a pretty unstable joint, anything that's pathologic, meaning you tear something or get close to tearing something and stretch the capsule, it's going to be painful. And if you think about kicking a soccer ball in the backyard, we don't put a lot of force into it. But kicking a 45-yard field goal, you have to swing your entire body through it. You have to use your upper body to generate momentum. And if your shoulder doesn't feel 100%, and that's going to change how you rotate your hips and leg through, that might be pretty considerable in terms of outcome. So my guess is they'll keep a pretty close eye on him this week, look for accuracy, look for distance. And if those aren't progressing well, then they may have to have alternative plan. Now, the reality is that most people can come back with a shoulder subluxation in about 8 to 10 days. So my guess, my hope is a kicker can come back during that time too.
In the meanwhile, they signed Anders Carlson to the practice squad just in case Matthew Wright can't go and kick. Malik Mustafa with the low ankle sprain. Why is a low ankle sprain so much less troubling generally than a high ankle sprain?
Yeah, so when you have a low ankle sprain, which we've probably all had, that's at the very distal part or the very bottom part of the bone on the outside of your ankle. There's three ligaments there. You typically, for a mild ankle sprain, you sprain the one in the front. It gets swollen, but there's no separation of the bones. So usually that's essentially day-to-day, and usually takes about a week to 10 days to get back because you just need to control the swelling and feel stable. A high ankle sprain is an entirely different injury. That's where there's separation between the tibia and the fibula, the two bones in the leg. And even though it's part of the ankle, it's much higher up, and then your ankle is essentially unstable. So every time you step, your foot is essentially being driven up in between two bones. So it's a very different injury, very different outcomes, and needs to be treated in an entirely different manner.
Doc, any light you can shed on Charvarius Ward, who it looks to us like he's just not 100% all year, and then to go right up to the game thinking he would play and then didn't on Thursday night. What do you think is the right move for him going forward?
You know, I think anytime you've got a player that doesn't feel 100% in the first half of the season when you're in playoff contention, I think the idea is be safe and be conservative. I mean, if you look at he's 28 years old, so it's not like he's old and this is an aging injury. This is more something along the lines of wear and tear in the knee, something that probably needs a little bit of extra rest. He gets 10 days off this week, plays Dallas. Arguably, that might be another week off. And then they've got the bye week. So my guess is they'll continue to be a little conservative with him, try to get him to play against Kansas City, and then with the hopes that he can really rest and recover for the second half of the season.
Doc, Aiden Hutchinson with the terrible fractured tib fib, and he had surgery, and they say 4 to 6 months. Is there any possible way that he could make it back in 4 months if they made the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's tough. So we typically think about bone healing being in about 6 to 8 weeks. But even though we focus on the bone, all his soft tissues have to recover too. So he's going to spend probably at least 2 to 3 weeks protected weight buried, meaning he's not going to put very much weight on it. You get a lot of muscle atrophy where your muscle shrinks. Whether or not he could really be back, let's say Lions in the Super Bowl, it's possible, but unlikely. And then there is a risk that he has more injury when he plays. It's relatively low because at that point the bone should be healed. But I think legitimately we say 4 months to maybe go out for a nice aggressive hike, 6 months for playing football. So it'd be unlikely for him to return this year.
Okay, there it is.
Hey, old aggressive hike. Right. Yeah.
I went on one of those today. Actually, it wasn't aggressive at all. Yeah. But anyway, Doc, thank you so much for jumping in. We appreciate it.
All right, have a good day, guys.
Okay, thanks, Doc. You too. Proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health.
Yeah, I'm glad that he put that into proper context because Dan Campbell's like, I wouldn't count him out. And it's like, four months.
I would.
And I would too, but yeah. I mean, he's an animal and he's a tough football playing guy. And, 4 months to come back and play football would be about the Super Bowl if Detroit makes it. So I guess that'll be somewhat of a storyline, but I'm glad he put that into proper context.
Yeah, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. Although I do think, it'll be interesting to see how far down the Lions fall with their output. To me, they've looked like the most impressive, most balanced team in the NFC. All apologies to Minnesota. Right now, to me, Detroit has looked, by and large, as the best team that I've seen in the NFC. And the NFC, by the way, don't sleep on the fact that it might be a little deeper and scarier than we think. I know right now with the Niners sitting at 3-3 and technically in a playoff spot because they are the leaders in the NFC West, so they would go and they would host a game if it all ended today, which it doesn't. I don't know if you know that. But anyway, you look at it and go, well, come on, the NFC. Then the Niners will be fine in the NFC. There are 7 teams at 4-2 or better. 7 football teams at 4-2 or better. And none of them are named the Eagles, Cowboys, or Niners. We got to at some point acknowledge the NFC South has clearly gotten better. The whole NFC North is a problem, and nobody saw Washington coming. And they're doing what they're doing. And a lot of this looks kind of sustainable. It does. Yeah. Minnesota, Washington, it looks sustainable.
Yeah. You've got 3 of the top 5 in DVOA, which is one of the boutique elite analytic numbers. Minnesota, Detroit are 1-2. The Niners are 5. Kansas City's 4. So you're getting a matchup of 2 of the top 5 teams in defensive adjusted value over average numbers, which takes into account down and distance and everything else in a play. It's one of the great measurements for teams. And you've got 3 of the top 5 NFC, including number 4 versus number 5 on Sunday at Levi's.
And then Vikings-Lions this week too, right?
Yeah, they're 1-2 in DVOA. Baltimore is 3.
There you go. All right, we're sponsored by Robert Half. We're going to circle back to all things Niners and football. But I want to try something real quick because I got a quick story to share with you. And it's going to take all of your help, especially if you are a big fan of Moses Moody. Will you get on the line right now at 888-957-9570 if you think Moses Moody should play more? Get on the line. There's a little bit of an experiment here. Call us right now if you think Moses Moody should play more. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your pitch stink.
Hold on just a minute.
Yeah! Woo! If you weren't a Moses fan before,
wow,
what about now?
What the absolute hell, Double M's?
What about now?
You know what, Moses? All I do is sit here on this radio show, on this radio station, and defend you. I even talked to your boss, your head coach, about how you should play more. I've been right there at the front of Team Moses Moody, and now you're going to do me like this?
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Just, I don't even feel like he was reading that.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like that was just
I felt it. Yeah.
Dibs,
yeah.
I've been following your picks, and your picks stink.
He's like, I appreciate you having my back. Will you stop? Please stop.
I had the Niners. I got that one right.
Please stop having my back.
Last night was a bad beat.
It ain't working for me.
Yeah. Man. Moses, huh?
Once we get into basketball season, don't worry, Dave. There's more where that
we
came
got,
from.
I hope
things will even out.
I can tell. We got stuff.
Hopefully we take some shots at Captain Homer over here.
I don't think that's on the...
Mr. Know-it-all.
I don't think that's on the menu at all.
I look forward to the next rejoin. Meantime, more Moses my foot. Give me more D'Anthony Melton.
Oh my gosh.
We need to ship that guy out of town. Down on Moses.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And all guests on 95.7 The Game are required to finish their interview by saying, hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
I'm just a game below 500.
Phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Boy, somebody had media day. Anyway, here's why I ask. So I get on the phone yesterday with an old friend of my dad's, like longtime family friend. Hadn't talked to him in about 147 years. And so fun to talk. And, you know, he had a reason, whatever. He had something that he wanted to know if we wanted as he was cleaning out his garage. And he listens sometimes. So, Mike, if you're listening, hey, what's up? Fun to talk to you yesterday. But as you know, as a sports radio host, conversations with old friends, especially between men, because men have a hard time figuring out stuff to talk about with each other, right? And there's those awkward moments at parties where you're just like, so, you know, and then nobody knows what to say. And so once you get by the frontline stuff, how you doing? How are the kids? All right. Hey, Mark. Can I ask you a question about the Warriors?
Always.
Sure, Mike. What do you got? Hey, why doesn't Moses Moody play more? And I'm telling you, Dibs, even though I don't need to. I get this everywhere I go. It's all over the place. You all love Moses Moody. You love him. And I like him too. First of all, I think he's a pretty good basketball player. Second of all, I think he's someone who reacts to things the way you love to see another person react to things. Like, he has had a real hard time with the playing time, and he is a nose to the grindstone, like, I'm going to show you, you know? Like, he doesn't complain. He doesn't get into fights. He just tries to work harder. This is somebody who had a lot of years at college. All of that. I love Moses Moody. But I don't think I've ever seen, in all my years in sports, a player, and this can be football, basketball, baseball, a player who is sort of considered like a depth piece, right? A rotational guy. I don't know if I've ever seen someone that fits that description have a bigger fan base than Moses Moody. Can I ask, just on an individual basis, what is it about Moses that gets your attention as someone who sometimes doesn't even play?
Well, for one, he's homegrown. Okay. And for another, when he does play, he at times will flash and play very well. And as a reward, he'll go right back to his spot at the 9 or 10 or 11 spot in the rotation. And I do think a lot of it is the backup quarterback syndrome, where you always want something that you don't see. Like, if your quarterback is struggling, play the backup. He'll be better. Give him a chance. Play the backup. Play Trey Lance. Trey needs to play. Let Trey cook. You know, Trey was drafted. You drafted him to play him. And it's a little bit like Moses Moody, and everybody wants to talk about Anthony Lamb and Jeremy, what's his name? Not Jeremy Lin, but the other guy that they had. It was the two players that fans were complaining about, that they would play.
I thought it was that kid, Ty Jerome.
Not Jeremy, Jerome.
Jerome.
Anyway. Right. It was Lamb and Jerome, and like, they're playing ahead of Moses. Why? Right. Why? Right. Why can't you let Moses cook? So that, I think, is what a lot of fans are clamoring for. I see Moses Moody, and I see him being 7th or 8th best at a lot of different things. He's not, like, really good at any one thing. Not a great shooter. He's fine. Mm-hmm. Not a great scorer. He can score. Not a great defender. He can defend. Not a great passer. Not a great ball handler. Not a great rebounder. He's good and serviceable at all those things, but if you wanted to rank all the skills of a basketball player, he's probably going to be 7th or 8th in all of them. And that, to me, is why he winds up being a guy who's in the odd man out rotation spot.
What do you consider a good 3-point shooter? Just run anything in the NBA.
It's like 37.5%.
37.5%.
Somewhere in there?
Yeah. He's 36.2.
Okay.
And he's almost like straight. You want to talk about consistent?
Yeah.
Year one, 36.4. Year two, 36.3. Last year, 36.
And threes per game attempted is probably about 3.5 or 4, right?
A little bit less.
Okay.
2.5 for his career.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear from some of you. Why do you love Moses Moody so much? Let's go to Joseph in South City. Hi, Joseph. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think Moses Moody, I think he reminds me of a young Curry. He's humble and he's hungry and he's earned it, but he may not have that talent, as you were mentioning just earlier. We do have so many bodies, new bodies on the team, so I don't know where he's going to fit. I don't know if he's going to start, but he deserves to play.
What is it about him, Joseph, that, like, I mean, I get what you just said there, but it seems like he's connected with a fan base on a much higher level than others in his position, no?
I think so. I agree. I think if you compare to Kuminga, I think you've had an even bigger fan base for Kuminga, but then you also have some, you know, some star problems, you know, you have some attitude problems potentially, but you don't see that with Moody at all.
Joseph, thanks. Pat in Foster City, you're next up. Hi, Pat, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I thought your question was headed in a little different direction, not just that I like him, but I think he should be playing more minutes. I think he really deserves that. I think, as you guys were saying, I think he's pretty good, at a lot of different things. I think the problem with the Warriors, kind of a problem, is they got so many people that can play the two this year. There's like five or six guys that are, you know, right in that area.
Yep.
But I think unless they go with Wiggins at the two, which some people have talked about, I don't think they will, but I mean, he played that position way back when. But if they don't go with Wiggins at the two, you know, Moses does give them a little more size than most of the other guys at 6'6 and 210 or whatever. And I think he's, you know, he can shoot. He can rebound. He can definitely defend. So, you know, I think they'll probably play, you know, they'll mix up the minutes because they got so much talent. They can probably keep a fresh guy in there all the time. But I think he deserves certainly more minutes than he has. And people forget he's only 22 years old, right?
Only 22. Yeah, but Pat, like, all
yeah,
right. No, let's,
I like him.
But
yeah.
let's acknowledge Steve Kerr's response whenever this comes up of math. All right? So if you think he should get more minutes, who's getting less?
Well, I think Clay's going to get less, right?
There you go. It's a good answer. Scoreboard.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah.
I like him. I don't know if it should be, you know, we had Mo Spates, and I don't know if it should be Mo Moses or Mo Moody, but one or the other, I think I would go with it.
Thanks. Yep. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Well, just, I mean, he gets minutes when he gets minutes, and he tends to play about 17 minutes, which was a career high last year, and he is only 22. And I just wonder about this year where they do have, as Pat was saying, more players now who play that position. And so if you want to have somebody come in and lock somebody down, GP2,
right.
If you want somebody to come in and get a bucket, Buddy Hield. If you want somebody who can distribute, D'Anthony Melton.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you start to look at what you need from a player, Moses is great. He's a glue guy. He can do almost everything capably. But when you're looking for a specialized thing out of a bench player, I don't think that he separates.
Well, okay, we're going to take some more calls on this, so stay right where you are. But here's the point that I'm getting at. Moses Moody is the backup quarterback of the Golden State Warriors. I really see that. And this is not to be a criticism of him. I like him too. Again, I think not only I agree with your assessment, he does all things pretty well, nothing fantastically. And also, from a mental standpoint, I think he's been almost perfect. Like, he handles this situation as well as anybody could. But because he is sort of a BB plus type of a player at all things, but not an A at anything, he's the perfect guy for when anyone goes out and doesn't have a good night, you end up after the game going, Moses Moody. We should have put in Moses Moody. That would have fixed it. And I don't know if that's the case. I look at this roster. You and I did this exercise last week. And you just named a bunch of the names. But it doesn't even stop there.
Yeah.
Like, you're just talking about wings. I know that the two and the three are different, but in the NBA, it's also wings. And so to go from Buddy Hield and D'Anthony Melton and GP2 and add in Brandon Pajemski and to a degree Andrew Wiggins, I know that he's a little bigger. Jonathan Kuminga, bigger. But you start putting all of this together, and I'm trying to figure out exactly how it is you all would like Steve Kerr to handle this year. I know what everyone's going to... Great problem to have. Well, we went through that last year, and it wasn't a great problem to have. And that's just what I see. I love Moses Moody also. He's going to have to force his way onto the court. I don't know exactly how. But this guy is the backup quarterback of the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
If something goes wrong, you all pull out your Moody flag and seemingly make that the reason why.
Right, and you clamor for him to play a lot more. And if you look at last year, he played in 66 of 82. And I'm looking at his game log, and there were only 7 games where he got the DNP. He wasn't active for, looks like, about 2 weeks, actually a little bit longer. He had a small injury, as I recall. He missed 9 games. He was inactive, and he had a handful of DNPs. But the frustration for some fans is he goes out and he plays well. I'm looking at the game against Portland. He had 11 points. He was a +6 in a win. 2 nights later against Denver on Christmas, he played 2.5 minutes, and you lost. And those are the ones where even Steve Kerr is commended him for always being ready and never carrying it with him, but the Moody acolytes, Team Moody, they get frustrated when he actually does get a chance to play and he plays well, and then he goes back into a subservient role.
Cyrus in Oakland is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Cyrus. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm definitely on the Moody bandwagon. There's a few reasons. You've hit on a couple of them. What he does as a basketball player, and he did it in when the lights were brightest, you know, during the Western Conference Finals against Dallas. The basketball IQ, his performance came through when the lights were bright. That's one. And then two, I mean, you just got to give it to him, the name, Moses Moody. I love the name.
Okay.
And a guy whose name is Moses Moody and says things like, calm seas do not make for a good sailor. So he just, you know, he speaks my language. I love Moses. I hope he gets playing time. And to answer the last question, I think he deserves minutes over Payton now. I love GP2, but that's one player that I think he could take minutes away from.
Cyrus,
thanks. Gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you. And see, that's interesting, I think, to the point you're trying to make. Like, is Moses Moody a better all-around player than Gary Payton? I'd say yes, but GP2 is elite at one thing. If Moses is not, if he's good at everything but elite at nothing, that's where GP2, in some cases, gets an edge because he is an elite defender.
That's an interesting thing that you just said because whether or not I agree with you, and I don't agree that he's an overall better player, I think he's a younger player, and that's why Steve Kerr is always going to default to Gary Payton II if healthy.
Maybe.
Because you've got a veteran core of guys, and now we're down to Steph and Draymond. And, you know, Wiggins, I think, is a little bit off to the side. But Steph and Draymond have shown to be more comfortable with veterans as opposed to younger players. And Moody at 22 and Kuminga at times says, before last year particularly, he struggled to get consistent minutes. And, you know, Pods is a little bit different because his game has a certain maturity to it. But I think about this year, Buddy Hield is in his early 30s. Oh. And Kyle Anderson's an older player, and De'Anthony Melton's been around the block, so I think it's going to be even harder for Moses Moody at 22 to take minutes away from a guy like GP2 when healthy, because GP2 is much more bankable. You know what you're going to get out of him. Even if you think Moody's better, GP2 is going to give you exactly what he always gives you more often than Moses Moody.
Yeah, I guess I can feel that, and I'm not saying that GP2 doesn't do more than one thing well, right? He is, for his size, he plays bigger, he's a good finisher around the rim, I think he's an energy guy, but again, like, when you're looking for someone, you're like, there's a matchup out there and we need to lock that guy down, you're gonna go to GP2. Moses sort of feels like he just gets lost in the sea. He gets lost in the sea of what exactly are we trying to do now. But more often than not, when he comes in, wouldn't you agree, good things happen. See, we have a hard time when something goes well, but we don't know how to define it. I feel like we've done this for 2.5 years with Brock Purdy. People had a hard time because they're like, well, the Niners win almost all the games. But it's nothing that he's doing. Like, at a certain point, you got to go, no, it is something that they're doing. Like, I do think there's an unexplained something that happens with Moses Moody on the floor. He's an effort guy, and as you said, there's nothing he doesn't at least do pretty well. So that speaks to somebody who's going to make, I think more often than not, he's going to help make the game go well.
Yeah, he's going to help the game, you know, continue. I don't know if he necessarily will help it go well. I'm just looking at some of the advanced metrics, and offensively, as far as offensive box score plus minus, your net per 100 possessions, what you contribute, he's a negative 0.2 on offense, and he's a positive 0.1 on defense.
Oh my gosh.
He's a negative 0.1 overall per 100 possessions, which is to say, he's about a net neutral for your basketball team. There are things he does better than others, but when he's on the court, the team tends to be about the same as when he's not on the floor. And just to contrast that with Gary Payton, he is a plus 2.2 on defense. He's a minus 1.3 on offense. So if you put GP2 out there with three or four other good offensive players, now GP2 can just go out there and be a net positive on D. With Moses, he doesn't really contribute on either end dramatically like that, you know?
Let's go to Dan in Truckee, next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. listen to Dibs and his metrics, I get it. However, the eye test tells me something a little different. I do love Moses Moody, but I love the attitude. The attitude, and you guys answered your own question. You guys keep talking. You keep answering it. Effort, attitude. The eye test is that he's on the floor for loose balls. Not that GP2 isn't. Too bad they couldn't play together all the time. But availability. Moses is available, right? Wiggs, not going to be so much available. GP2 plays so hard, he's going to get, you know, scarred up. He's not going to be always available. Moses is just, we fall in love with him because of his attitude and his effort. Nothing else I can say. The eye test tells me, metrics tells you one thing. The eye test tells me a little bit different, that the team is, like, together, working hard, effort, 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 when he's on the floor. So that's my answer to you guys, why I love Moses Moody.
Dan, appreciate it. See, here would be my follow-up question to that, though.
Yeah.
If you're the head coach of the Warriors, can you use that as reasoning? Like, I get what the metrics say, and you just threw out metrics that would suggest that Moses Moody is just, like, dead set, as average as you can be. A net neutral.
Yeah.
Okay? As the head coach of the Warriors, you could be like, my eyes tell me different. Can you afford to do that?
No, I mean, you can, but here's my counter to that, which is everything that we're all saying about effort and attitude, and particularly attitude. If you know that a guy like Moses Moody, even if you have him as the 10th and 11th man out of the rotation, if you know that once that player goes in the rotation, he's going to be the exact same player that he always is, it's almost easier to then take him out of the rotation because you're not going to lose him. He's not a fragile young man. He's a guy who you can actually do this to, and you know, like Jonathan Kuminga in the playoffs a couple of years ago, when you started taking him out of games, you lost Jonathan Kuminga. And it got to the point where he played 4 minutes in a game because he was unable to recover at that point.
But shouldn't the behavior of Moses Moody be rewarded rather than the other way around? Like what you just said sort of sounds like the old adage of nice guy finishes last. Is Moses Moody on the bench because he's the one who can handle the bench?
No, but if you have a tough call to make and you know that one guy, if you put him on the bench, is going to be fine, then that's a guy you can put on the bench.
Well, then he needs to learn how to not be fine, I guess.
Right. I mean, we were kind of making comp with Nick Bosa and drawing holding penalties because he gets held and he doesn't really carry on. And maybe if you carried on more, Steph Curry is probably a better analogy for this conversation. If Steph flopped more, would he get more calls to go his way? Probably.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's a tough behavior to encourage. But I'm not saying Moses should start throwing tantrums. But as a coach, if you know that one player is going to be more okay with it than another, then if the players are comparable, it becomes an easy call.
Big Smooth in Oakland is next up. Hi, Big Smooth. Thanks for calling.
Smooth.
Smooth, you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Wow.
So, as we're talking here, I'm just looking at it like this. Moses, let me get this straight. He's too good to trade. He's not good enough to play. I like him because he's the Warriors' admitted mistake. He's the one thing that they can't seem to get a hold of. I mean, listen, the Warriors don't do a lot of things bad, but Moses Moody, James Wiseman, a few things they have done. And Moses Moody is a solid player that would probably play way more, but would even start in some organization. But I don't – listen, GP2, we love him, but he's never matched that 1 year he had. He never matched that. He's never even played to that standard again. He's always been below that seemed to be the ceiling. We haven't seen anything that would indicate that he's able to play above that 1 year. And I don't know why – but to me, listen, I could be wrong on this, but it seemed like Pods will do the same thing or a similar game to Moody, and then Moody won't play again, but Pods will play more. That's just what it seems like, fellas. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah, Smooth, thanks. Appreciate it. I don't know about that. There's always this thing with Pods, I would argue, and some of this we don't see as fans, but he sort of picked it, whatever it is, he picked it up a little bit quicker as a rookie last year than a lot of other guys have coming through. At least that's clearly the thought of the organization.
Yep, and that's, I think, the thought of the vets, too, on the floor. And there's a reason that Pods, I think, led the league last year in charges taken.
Yep.
And he's a better shooter than Moody, and he's probably as good, if not a better, defender.
And now he has a broken nose because of it, and he won't play tonight. So, anyway, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That was a fun little aside. Appreciate all the interaction. 888-957-9570. We'll get back to Niners. You've got to hear what Baldy said this morning. You've got to hear what Florio said this morning. And then I've got to hear what Grandy said yesterday. Okay? Purdy over Mahomes, or something along those lines. We'll get into all of that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah, Pods! I'm always holding my breath now. Pods, you're my guy. That's a redhead looking out for a redhead.
Granny gave me a look where it was like, this is going somewhere, but I don't know where. Okay, there you go.
1-1.
Every group has a contrarian. For the Warriors, it's Pods.
We don't know.
Yeah, we do.
No, you haven't heard the rejoins. The next seven might all agree.
Everybody hates your picks.
Dibs, this is Draymond Green. Who are you?
Who are you?
I know football.
Dibs, you're listening to Willard and Dibs. Dibs, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
If I see you.
If you pick the Niners again.
Exactly.
Although that was a get-right game for me and the Niners. Yeah.
I was
almost hot going into last night.
No,
I was,
you weren't.
If I would have won last night, I would have been hot. That would have been three in a row.
Yes, sir.
I gave you a Sunday night lock. I gave you a Sunday night lock that was never in doubt.
You did?
Cincinnati over the Giants.
You did?
That thing was an ottoman. I gave it on Friday.
That was in doubt all game long.
Yeah, that was not.
Feel free to listen to your own show.
Crying out loud.
You give Lucas a hard time for not listening.
Thank you.
I can't remember 8 picks ago. You picked it. First of all, they were up 10-7 with about 2 minutes to go. How's it an ottoman? How's that an ottoman game?
Never. In doubt.
Never should have won.
You're
more
absurd.
That game was awful.
The Giants couldn't make a field goal. That game was terrible. Although
I had Cincinnati's kicker, L. McPherson, something like that. I need him to start making some more kicks.
Fantasy football does not mean that, Dibs.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's.
I got Cindy Crawford in another league.
Clean it up. All right. Clean it up.
I thought it was a funny bit.
It's very funny. Guess what? Coming up tomorrow, we're broadcasting live from John Madden's studio. I don't even know why I need to keep talking. That's the end of that. We'll remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family are going to be there. Mooch is going to be there. He joins us live at 3. All right. Can you all update me? What the hell happened yesterday? What the hell happened?
Well, I'll set up Randy with this.
I had a thing to go do, and did I, like...
Dibs picked the Jets.
Okay, Dibs picked the
Jets.
Whatever,
we're not there yet.
Yeah, so...
That was a bad beat.
No, what happened to the whole part about... So, Grandy, like, grabbed this microphone and started saying that Brock Purdy's better than Patrick Mahomes? Is that what happened?
Grandy was great yesterday, first of all.
Look, he's always great.
And I... Well, except when he stabbed me in the back, that was awkward, but we worked through it.
That's especially great.
And then he laid out a case, and I hope he lays it out here again for you, because you're a Brockistan. We know that.
I'm the king of Brockistan.
But the way he does it is so much, I'm going to say it, more professional.
Less snooty?
What do you mean
more professional? Just because it's stats?
It's stats and facts. Oh, and you know I love me some numbers. And as we talked about yesterday,
numbers are
numbers. Yeah. Unless numbers are my numbers. And then numbers are numbers.
Numbers are numbers.
Right. Unless they're my numbers, those are bigger.
Well, yesterday, Grandy's numbers were numbers. And his numbers showed that Purdy greater than Mahomes. Take it away, Mark with a C.
Oh, through 6 games, there's no contest this year.
Got him.
That's
like,
I love Lucas in the back.
Got him.
Totally.
Okay.
Brock Purdy has been more of a driving force behind the Niners' success than Patrick Mahomes has been for the Chiefs' success.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes is not throwing the ball down the field at all.
At all.
He is lowest average depth of target for starting quarterbacks in the NFL, essentially just how far you throw the ball down the field every time you drop back to throw, lowest in the NFL, yet he somehow has 6 interceptions to 6 touchdowns. Brock Purdy has more touchdowns, has fewer interceptions, is throwing the ball much further down the field, in fact, more than any other starting quarterback in the NFL. He's completing passes at a slightly lower rate, but that's because he's throwing consistently tougher passes. Yet he's thrown fewer interceptions, thrown for more yards. He's ran for more yards. He has done the challenging better than Patrick Mahomes has done the simple. The only difference is the Chiefs are 5-0, the Niners are 3-3. But Brock Purdy has been the better quarterback through 6 weeks of the NFL season.
Okay, I feel like I have two nuts to try to crack here at the same time because it
easy.
Feels, no, listen, if you're going to call your kicker Al McPherson, it's 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? We're doing everything we want.
I missed the 5 o'clock pop. No, but go ahead.
So, first of all, your quip that Mark is making my point, but doing it much more professional. Where's the part about the fact that everything he just said was true all of last year too? All of it. Go look it up. All of it. Numbers are numbers, and the numbers have been the numbers.
Right.
They've been the numbers.
And to be fair, what I did say yesterday, and Dib, you can back me up, I said it's been the case for a year and a half, except for the postseason and the Super Bowl.
And Christmas, but yeah.
Except for the Bowl, I don't even remember. What were Patrick's numbers in the playoffs? He wasn't that great.
Well, Brock Purdy wasn't as good in the postseason.
And Patrick didn't. I mean, but again, when I can just feel where some people's brains would go when you go, all of these things are true except for their record. I mean, you and I have had this semantics conversation already. I'm apparently not allowed to say that the 49ers should be 5-1.
You can.
Because the only thing that matters is their record. And if the only thing that matters is their record, then why are we popping around with DVOA and QBR and CD to INT ratio?
It's
and
because
all,
we're too married to the idea that the quarterback has a record. Like, the team has a record.
I agree.
So Mahomes has not been as good as Purdy, but Mahomes' team has been better than Purdy's team. And part of a team is not gacking away games when you should win. And those weren't Purdy mistakes. I'm thinking about the loss to the Rams, and I don't believe he made any of those mistakes.
Nope.
And I'm thinking about the loss to Arizona, and yeah, he threw a late pick, and he should have gotten rid of the ball when he was blitzed from his front side. That was a mistake, but the game was mostly already lost before that. But you can put that partly on Brock Purdy, but I do think that all of us, fans, commentators, and the rest of it, we get too married to quarterback record being the end-all be-all.
I agree completely. I agree 100%.
Kansas City, as a team, has not been necessarily better, but they've won 5 games, and part of that is being better where you need to be better.
I do think they've been better. I think they've been better because they've been cleaner. They've been cleaner. Schlereth said it to us a couple hours ago. When a play needs to be made, the Chiefs have made it. When a play needs to be made for the 49ers this year, they have very often not made it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Renardo Green in Seattle the other night finally did. But it's like, you know, that whole thing we've done with the Rams and Cardinals losses of the 7-pick parlay where it's like, dude, you guys had 7 chances to make one play and nobody did. The Chiefs very often this year, you get one chance to make a play and they do. They make it.
Yeah.
So that's why they're 5-0. And that, to me, that is better because they're cleaner. They've made fewer mistakes. Their defense has absolutely been better than the 49ers' defense. That's not even close. But sure, if you want to get into the quarterback, you love to bring up PFF.
Yep.
That's PFF's number one quarterback right now.
And you know where Mahomes is?
Oh, God, I bet he's probably at least halfway down the board.
He's 10th.
Okay.
He's number 10 right now, and yeah, Purdy is 88.2, slightly ahead of Derek Carr, and then it's Burrow, Lamar, Jaden, CJ, Maker, Bayfield in the MVP conversation, and then you get to Calamari and Geno, and then Patrick Mahomes.
Kyler Murray is ahead of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, and
that's
again, it's, you know, his running numbers are pretty good, and that's where it's interesting in PFF land. Patrick Mahomes is number 3 among quarterbacks in the run game. Josh Allen's one. Tua, who's been out for a long time, is two. So really, Mahomes would be number two. Brock Purdy's not too far down. He's eighth in runs as a quarterback.
Can I ask, Randy, so what's the end game of the, if I accept the premise, what's the end game? Or is that the end game? You were just saying that basically Brock Purdy has been better than Patrick Mahomes largely for a year and a half? Or are you in some way insinuating that, like, if given the opportunity, you would take Brock Purdy over Patrick Mahomes if you were starting a football team?
No, I'm not sure I'd do that. Actually, I guarantee I would not do okay. that. But I think it just speaks to a larger point that there have been other reasons why the 49ers have been losing games, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Brock Purdy. And sometimes, I mean, this also goes back to often ways that people try to attack Brock Purdy and argue that he's not a very good quarterback. A lot of those arguments do not fit Brock Purdy. In fact, he's on the opposite end of the spectrum, and everything that you're saying about Brock is actually true about Patrick Mahomes of late.
Hmm. Okay.
He doesn't push the ball down the field. Yep. The majority of his yards come after the catch. It's the opposite for Brock Purdy, but it's all 100% true for Mahomes.
You know who it's even more true about, what you're saying right now, is the guy we watched last night. It's Josh Allen.
Right.
I don't know thank God Amari Cooper's going there. Maybe Josh Allen will actually throw the ball more than 2 yards in front of him for the first time all year. The only time he did it was when he improvised and rolled out and hit Ray Davis down the middle of the field with what turned out to be, I guess, his longest completion to a running back in his career is a stat that I heard. But watch the Buffalo Bills play football. Everything is right at the line of scrimmage.
Interesting you say Everything. That, because the numbers would indicate intended air yards per attempt, he's fourth.
Who? Josh?
Josh Allen.
Okay.
Completed air yards per completion, he's all the way down at 17.
Okay, so maybe that's what I'm feeling.
Right. So they do, you know, and I think that they'll throw it deep. They won't complete it.
They huck it over everybody's head.
The majority
yeah.
of it is dink and dunk and shorter throws that they're completing. And also, Josh Allen as a runner has become one of the biggest threats in their offense.
For sure, for sure. And everybody in the building who was thinking straight knew exactly that that's what he was going to do last night, and they still couldn't stop it.
Yep.
And he ended the game because of it. All right, a couple things. Baldy weighed in on this morning on the Morning Roast. We'll play that for you in a second, then we'll take some calls. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.